I've been given kind of 15 to 20 minutes to, I think in the newsletter it said, preparing for 2023. So what I'm going to do this morning is talk about, I guess, how I'm preparing for 2023, what God's been speaking to me about, so my own personal reflection, but I believe that it's very much relevant to us here at COV. As most of you will know, some of you will, some of you won't by now, Sonia and I are heading off to Napier. That's a good thing. Heading off to Napier to pastor Napier Baptist Church. In February, we've been here 10 years. It's been a great journey. Thank you so much for putting that with us. I wasn't expecting to get emotional at all, but that's just how it is. And so the good thing about today is I can say what I want because you can't fire me. Well, you can, but it's going to be my last sermon anyway. So if I go over 20 minutes, in fact, if I go for an hour, what are you going to do? But I just want to, I want to look at the Christmas story. We'll start off with the Christmas story, again, from the book of Luke. And I want to talk about, the gospel. Again, I just loved what Shah shared. And for those of you who don't know, she is my daughter-in-law now. So our journeys have come together. Her story is our story. And our story is now her story, and what God is doing. And the power of the gospel to transform lives. If there's anything that I can leave you with, it would be that. The power of the gospel, the power of Christ to transform lives. And that's what I want to kind of touch on this morning, but this is something that God's just been talking to me about over the last few months, and it tails nicely into Christmas, and it will take us into take me into the new year, and hopefully it will take you into the new year as well. So Luke chapter 1, just starting at verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and he said, "Greetings, O favoured one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favour with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great, and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him, the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And we kind of all know the story, or most of us will know the story. But I just want to focus for a second on verse 29. It says that the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary, and it says that she was greatly troubled because she was trying to discern what sort of greeting this might be. It's like, I mean, we don't get angels appear to us regularly, do we? But Mary was trying to work out who this was and what was the greeting and what did they want with her. And it's really hard for us, isn't it, to put ourselves in these circumstances. We can kind of try and do it in our mind's eye, but it's good for us just to take a second to think about what that would be and how Mary felt about that. And it says that she was greatly troubled, and that that can be also defined as acutely distressed and agitated. She was extremely stressed by this angel standing before her. It's like, what the heck is this? And one of the reasons that Mary was so deeply distressed is, and this is what we forget, I think about Mary, and we forget about the story, the Christmas story, is that Mary was, and we don't know the exact background, but in one way she was like Shah, from a very low socioeconomic background. She wasn't anybody amazing, at least on the face of it, in the community. Like, she was following after God. She was blessed by God. But in terms of where she fitted in the socioeconomic picture, she was at the bottom. And in part we know this because, well, we know this for a few reasons. One is after Mary comes to terms with the fact that she is going to bear the Messiah. In verse 47, she bursts into praise and she says, "My soul magnifies the Lord and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has looked upon the humble estate of his servant." And again, if you delve into the meaning of that phrase, humble estate, again, I think it's a little bit misleading because it actually means humiliation. The humiliation of her estate. And so what she's magnifying God because he has looked on the lowliness of her position in the world. And she goes on to talk about in that song how he, that God has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in their thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. You see, we don't know what was happening in Mary's life, but there seems to be some kind of oppression, cultural oppression over her, where she is now praising God that the rich have been brought down, and she has been brought up, this one of humbled estate. And she's talking about the hungry being filled with good things. She wasn't an important person. She was very, 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 very unimportant to the world. But God saw her. God sees you, Sha. God sees you. And see, what we have to grapple with here is that God uses the most unlikely. Those that the world turns aside, those that the world looks down upon, are the ones that God lifts up and makes much of. And that is why Jesus came. That is why Jesus came. He came in particular to lift up those who are crushed, those who are in despair, those who the world has rejected. And the question that I have this morning is, as a church, do we have the Spirit of Christ that does that? You see, when Jesus started his ministry, as recorded by Luke, if we flip over to chapter 4, verse 4, to start at verse 14, and Jesus, we'll go back a little bit. So we know that Jesus grew up, and we know that in chapter 3 he was baptized by John, and it said, when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized, he was praying, the heavens were opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." Here we see, before Jesus began his ministry, he was the Holy Spirit came upon him. And then in chapter 4, we see Jesus led into 40 days and 40 nights of fasting and temptation. And in verse 1, it says, and Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And again, I won't go into the temptation, but for 40 days, he was tempted by the enemy of our souls, of his soul. And then we go to verse 14 in chapter 4, and so this is after the temptation, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and report about him went out through all the surrounding country, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. Now that's only a couple of little verses there, but that's actually for about the first 6 months or year of Jesus' life, of Jesus' ministry, that's accounting for. And we can read about that in the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John kind of talks about that. Excuse me. So it talks about Jesus returning in the power of the Spirit. And then it says in verse 16, and then he came to Nazareth. So Jesus is coming back to his hometown where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it is written, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And if you go on to read, you'll see that they rejected Christ. They rejected him. But what I want to pull out here is, in verse 18 it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Okay, so we saw that the Spirit of the Lord was upon him at his baptism, upon him when he went into the desert, into the wilderness, into the temptation, upon him when he came out, upon him in his ministry. The Spirit of the Lord was upon him. Why? Why was he anointed by the Holy Spirit? Why was the Spirit of the Lord upon him? It says, "Because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor." Good news to the poor. Why didn't he just stop and say, "Because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news"? Surely everybody needs the gospel. Well, no one's denying that, is it? Are they? But the mark, everybody needs the gospel. Jesus preached the gospel to the rich young ruler. He preached to everyone, but the mark of us being anointed by the Holy Spirit, carrying the anointing of God, empowered by God, is that we are preaching the gospel to the poor. The oppressed, the downtrodden, those who are blind without hope, those who are in bondage. That is the mark of a church that carries the anointing of God. I was listening to a sermon, part of the meditation that I've had on these verses, by a guy named Michael Rhodes. He's an American. He's now teaching at Carey Bible College. And he was speaking on this, and he said, you know, he was brought up in America, somewhere near the Mississippi, and he said, my family were Christians. He said, he was, basically in churches all his life, and he said, "I didn't see this. I didn't see this." You see, as churches, we are comfortable with the middle class. We are comfortable with those we are comfortable with. We are comfortable in the spaces that many of us grow up in. But if we carry the anointing of God, we go to the poor, we go to the oppressed, we go to the broken, we go to those who are in bondage, we go to those that society looks down upon. That is what marks us as carrying the anointing of God. How do we stack up? How do we stack up individually? How do we stack up corporately? I love what is happening here in the house next door. and the push into the Roslyn community. And I know many people have this heart to reach out into a community which is broken. Hopeless, lost in many respects, without direction, in bondage to so many different things. But there are also a lot of people in the church who are like, it's good that they are doing that. That part of the church is doing that. But it's not for me. That's not my heart. That's not where God has called me. And yet, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, is upon you, as it was upon Christ, only because He has anointed us to proclaim the good news to the poor, to the broken. And if we don't have that heart, how can we say that we have the heart of God? And that doesn't mean we're not preaching the gospel elsewhere. It's not what this is saying. But so often as middle class people, we want to stay in our middle class lane where we're comfortable and where things are easy and where life is ordered. I've heard people from this church say, you know, it's great what you guys do in the house next door, but it's not for me. I'm not called to that. That's too hard. It's too difficult. Dealing with the issues and the dysfunction and the heartache and the brokenness. And yet the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor and the oppressed and the broken and the blind. And if we don't have that heart, we've got to ask ourselves if we are walking in the same anointing that Christ walked in. That's a great question to have as we go into 2023. Turn with me to Isaiah 61, because Jesus was quoting Isaiah 61, and he stopped. He only did one and a bit verses. I want to keep going. I just want to go a little bit further in Isaiah 61. And it says this, we'll read the whole bit, just to verse 4. And the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of prison doors to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. I want you to see something here, which I actually hadn't seen until I listened to that sermon by whatever I said his name was before. And I always grabbed the first bit, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, preaching good news to the brokenhearted, the captives, those who are bound, proclaiming the year of the Lord's favour, to grant them. So he's talking about the poor, he's talking about the oppressed, he's talking about those who are at the bottom of the social heap here, okay? And he's saying, the reason that the good news is proclaimed is that they may exchange their ashes for beauty. That they may put off a faint spirit and have a garment of praise, that they may no longer be mourning, but they may be people of gladness. It is to transform their lives. To fully transform their lives. But that's not the bit that got me, because we kind of know that. But here's the bit that got me. Talking about the oppressed, talking about the lower socioeconomic community, if you like, we're talking about here. Verse 4, they are the ones that shall build up the ancient ruins. They are the ones that shall raise up former devastations. They are the ones that will repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. People, they are the ones that become the leaders, the repairers of the breach in the church. They are the ones that become the rebuilders of what the church should be, because they understand the gospel like many others can't. They know what it is to be pulled out of the gutter, out of the pit, and they will rebuild the church to what she is supposed to be. They are the repairers. It's not us. I mean, God might use us, mightn't he? Us middle class people. But when the anointing in Luke 7, when she's not named, people say it's Mary, but probably isn't. The lady of sin comes to Jesus and breaks the alabaster jar, vase, tips it over him. One of the disciples says to him, Jesus, don't you know who is doing this? Don't you know who this woman is? And he rebukes him and he says, for those who are forgiven much. Love much. You see, the church has a lot of good things going for it, but we are a long way from the book of Acts. We're a long way from what I think, that's a whole other sermon which I won't get into, where I think that the church should be. And I'm not just talking about COV, I'm talking about the church in this nation. And if we want the church repaired, if we want to see that the repairers raised up and to change what church is, we have got to go to the poor, to the oppressed, to the broken, to those who are enslaved. Because they are the ones who will repair the breach. They are the ones that will change what church looks like. They are the ones like Mary who live in humiliation and God says, I see you and I lift you up. O woman of God, O man of God. But our job is to go to the poor. To go into the highways and byways in Roslyn, in our communities, wherever we are, and proclaim the gospel of freedom. May God anoint us in a new way. As we move into 2023, may he anoint you here and may he anoint those in Napier Baptist and may he anoint those in every church in this nation that we would go where God commands us to go. As Shah said, that we would be obedient. As uncomfortable, as counterculture, and as countercultural as it may be, may we pick up the mandate that God lays down for us. Father, I just pray that you will anoint each person here in a new measure. As you anointed Christ with your spirit, you anoint your church. That we might do what you've called us to do, to go into the highways and the byways, to not stay in our own lanes, but, Lord, go to where the most broken people are. Maybe even to where the least lovable people are. But, Father, I thank you that that is your heart and that is what you call your church to do. And may we grasp it and may we run with it in the coming year. We pray in Jesus' name.